Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
We could recap a little bit about our thoughts on religion and spirituality in terms of our books. What do you think? Shall we do that?
You can go ahead, because we never did this episode, it sounds like you and I might actually differ
okay.
in our opinions.
Well, let me go through what I kind of recap with, and then you can go through what you think. Okay, so for me, I've always had an issue with the kind of the role of white Christians as good people who are Christian duty bound to take care of lessers, you know. And in terms of racial issues, that has historically been known as the white man's burden, right? It's the white man's burden to Christianize Native Americans. It's the white man's burden to take care of these ignorant slaves from Africa. You know, that's not something that I'm making up. That's a historical thing. It's colonialism, you know. It is absolutely kind of a historical fact. So that's always kind of been a bit of a thing for me when I read books like Gone with the Wind, like Little Women, where again it's German immigrants, not slaves per se, and in Gone with the Wind we have the slaves and the freed slaves. So that's something that I feel like in terms of, you know, throwing religion into those social contexts is in both of those books, in Little Women and Gone with the Wind, is pretty important. There's a little bit of it in Dracula with some of the depictions of you know, the local people where Dracula's castle is. They're the British colonial attitude about foreigners does come across in Dracula. It kind of does in Jane Eyre a little bit too, but not as much as Gone with the Wind and Little Women. I think in Little Women, it's very interesting to me that Beth is the most religiously and spiritually faithful character, right? She's full of faith, but she dies young. And not to laugh, but that's not a very fair reward for her faithfulness. It made me kind of think, well, was Alcott trying to kind of maybe represent questioning the legitimacy of God and faith and virtue by having the one character who was full of all of that die young? She doesn't even get to live a life. I don't think that Alcott was doing that at all, really, but that thought did kind of pop into my mind as I was reading that again this year and kind of looking at the religious and spiritual nature of Beth, and her reward is death. I mean, I guess, for some people that reward truly is a reward. She gets to go to heaven and be with her God, right? In her belief system. So my feelings about Little Women and spirituality and religion also have pluses and minuses, you know. Jane Eyre, I think you and I have a lot of different feelings about Jane Eyre in terms of religion and spirituality. To me, there's a lot of bad Christian behavior in Jane Eyre. You know, from the way her aunt treats her as a child to the way the Lowood School treats the orphans that are there. St. John, I see him very differently, I know, than you do. There's a lot going on with some of the people, the rules of man versus the rules of God in Jane Eyre. There's a lot of meat on that bone that we never really got deeply into, unfortunately, because we kind of ran out of time. And then with Gone with the Wind, we did talk a lot about how Scarlett struggles to be the kind of Catholic woman her mother was versus her own true self. And she never really resolves that conflict. I don't think Scarlett ever comes to term with how torn she is between being the kind of good Catholic woman her mother was and who she really is, Scarlett herself. Melanie is a character that I think Margaret Mitchell kind of gave us as a resolution of that kind of conflict, because Melanie is sweet and kind, but she also literally has a sword in her hand to defend those that she loves. So she's also strong, right, in her faith and in her love for her family. Again, the most negative thing about Melanie that's often overlooked is that she definitely carries that attitude of the white man's burden towards blacks. She doesn't see them as equals at all. She sees them as much lesser than her white Christian people, right? So those are kind of my little recaps about how I see religion and spirituality fitting into these stories. I that's down and dirty, quick and fast, but, you know, for me. What do you think?
Sure. No, thank you for sharing that. And yeah, we haven't really talked as much about this. I think that it kind of depends on, A, your starting point when it comes to your relationship with Christianity, and also the recognition that people have taken passages of the Bible to do good, and they have also abused those passages. In my belief system, because I am Christian, I believe that the twisting of those passages is a terrible thing, and I don't believe that is real Christianity, really what Jesus would want us to do.
I agree with you.
This issue with the white man's burden, I agree, that's a problem, and that is a real historical thing, and we do see some of that going on in our passages. However, the idea that it is our duty to help people around us when we can, if we can remove this kind of I'm belittling the one I'm helping
or condescending attitude, right,
and I think that's a good thing. And I think we do see instances of that, still seeing that human that I'm helping as a real human being. And I think Helen Burns is a beautiful example of a good form of Christianity. You know, she reaches out and befriends Jane in a way that still sees her as an equal.
And never does Helen Burns' character or Bronte's writing ever use words like raise you up. You know, helping to raise someone up automatically puts the helper in a higher level, right? A higher position. And I think that Helen, you just so wonderful that you mentioned that, because Helen Burns doesn't, that's not how she talks about helping people. She talks about helping people who have less than she does, or you know, are disadvantaged in some way, but she doesn't put herself higher than them at all in any way. Her desire to help is based on equal levels of everything, and she is unique in all of our books, in all of the characters. And I'm so glad that you brought her up, because we never did get a chance to really talk about her very much. Even Beth, as wonderful of a character as she is, when she is helping the German immigrants, she does see them as less than in a way, you know. But it is, she does feel strongly it's her Christian duty to go help them. But I never got the feeling she saw them as equal to her, you know. Helen Burns is the one who establishes that helping other people must start from a place of equality, no matter what your class, what your stature, what your skin color, all that stuff. And if nothing else, I think that it's so great that you brought her up, because that's the ultimate truly Christian way of seeing other people, don't you think? Or am I simplifying too much?
No, I think you raised some excellent points. And I think even the bigger Christian message that we get from Helen Burns, and I don't think that Jane completely agrees with it, is the idea of forgiveness. Helen Burns puts up with a bunch of crap from Miss Gashard,
she does. Yes,
who is
she
one
does.
Of the teachers who is pretty abusive. I mean, she's like, okay, you didn't clean up your bedroom area, you have to wear a placard of shame, I'm gonna smack you on the hands with a ruler, essentially. You know, and she's just like, hey, you know what? I did commit some bad things here. I think I had it coming.
Exactly.
That's a little bit too much of forgiveness.
Well, but it's also, Helen Burns has the maturity that most of the other characters in all of our books do not have, no matter how old they are, to take responsibility for her own actions and behavior. She says, yes, I did that. I deserve punishment. Now, do we agree that she had deserved some of those punishments? No, they're horrible, they're abusive, whatever. But the character, her character, embraces her own flaws. And that's something that's missing, I feel, sometimes in modern day, some modern day Christians' attitudes about helping other people who have less or are disadvantaged in some way. There's a lack of admitting your own flaws or weaknesses when you're helping other people.
So before you remove the speck from someone else's eye, take care of the plank in your own.
Exactly. And a lot of planks out there in people's eyes, in the Christians, in the modern world. I feel like I my personal religious or spiritual affiliations are unaffiliated. And cross a lot of cultures and religions, if you will, because of my anthropological studies. I've kind of, I like this part of that culture's religious thought, or, you know, and I, you know, but grounded in kind of what I, how I interpret the teachings of Christ. So grounded in Jesus Christ's Christianity, not necessarily the kind of Christianity you see in the world today. You know, I mean, it's not the kind of Christianity that's going to go and invade and fight Muslims or something like that. Not that kind of spread of Christianity, but, you know, just in the get back to the basics kind of, you know, love one another, be kind to one another, those kinds of teachings of Christ. I feel like we're on the same page in how we critique modern-day Christians and how we look at the roles of religion and spirituality in these books. I don't feel like we're that far apart, Sarah E. I really don't. I feel like we may have a few little things differing in how we see these books or faith in general, but I feel like we're kind of on the same page overall.
I feel it's also interesting about Helen Burns that while Jane at the time vehemently opposes Helen's views of forgiveness, like, hey, if someone strikes me, I'm going to strike back so they know never to do it again.
Right.
Later in life, I think it is Helen's example that allows her to forgive her cruel aunt who treated her so badly as a child.
And stay by her dying bedside.
Uncle who was willing to adopt you.
Yeah, and Jane stays by her dying aunt's bedside for a very long time. You know, and the aunt is continuing to abuse her at that point. Yeah.
It is about Jane being able to let that go.
Yeah, but it's not just letting the past go. On her deathbed for months, you know, or however long it takes for the aunt to die, she's continually nasty to Jane.
Yeah.
She doesn't ever, you know, she defends her behavior towards Jane as a child and everything. And Jane just, you know, forgives and forgives and forgives. So she does kind of absorb some of Helen Burns's childhood lessons in forgiveness that Helen Burns tried to get Jane to see as a child. And so in that way, Jane Eyre gives us kind of a full circle with that, and which I think is very beautiful and wonderful.
Join us next time as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.